I'd like to read to you two verses. From 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the last two verses, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We live in a body-conscious world today. From the moment a human being is born and the little body enters our world, it starts a journey. This journey of survival and self-preservation is always there. As a matter of fact, someone said, our body is the only home we have. It's true. Our body is the only home that this spirit will live. You can change houses, you can change family settings, you can get married and divorced and 10 times do the same, or go to any church or join any group, and yet the only home your soul has is your body. And your body is now a very important thing to look after. I believe that my body will never be back on this earth. I believe, and you all believe, I'm sure, that we only go through life once. And God has given us an opportunity, has created our soul. We are His breath in this body, which was given to us, so the soul can live in it. Today, more than ever, there is a great concern about physical well-being and physical shape. Inches, ounces, and calories are daily concern for many. All kinds of dieting methods, exercise machines, and clubs are more popular today than ever before. When talking about exercising, I don't really like exercising. And yet, I've almost forced myself by saying, okay, this body doesn't belong to you, it belongs to God. It's got to, you have to take good care of it, or else you cannot serve God. And I sort of convince me that I have to exercise, and so I exercise every night. As a matter of fact, some time ago I bought a treadmill, and that it's sitting there, always calling my name, and it's very hard for me to get on it and start it. And yet I know that this body is being used by God for His glory if I surrender this body and if I keep it clean. As a matter of fact, thinking about my body and who lives in there, I thought of this scenario. You buy a beautiful home, or you have a new home and you move into this home. And yet you want the previous tenants to move out. You cannot coexist with someone else living there, unless some people are weird, want to do that or can't afford it. So that's how it is with our body, I believe. I believe that when we are allowed the Holy Spirit to come in, when we invite God to come in our life and in our heart, this other tenant has to move out. Our body seems to be a great concern to us. What happens to our body is, of course, and should be very important. A healthy body and mind is what we all want. We want to look good. We want to look nice. We want to be able to do all the things we wanted to do. And yet we don't want to take good care of this body. We want this body to function well and serve us well. We want this body to give us all the pleasures that this body can give, and yet we just neglect it. We feed it with all kinds of stuff that will make it sick. And I believe the same thing applies to our spirituality. But the Christian believer, for the Christian believer, there is another dimension of the human body. If you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not a follower of God, if you don't have faith, and if you don't have a religious way of doing things, you may say, well, all the body does for me is give me pleasure or serves me until it dies. And yet, for the Christian believer, there is another dimension that the world will not understand. That dimension is more important than just having a beautiful looking body. The day you become a committed follower of Christ, a born again Christian, something happened to your soul and to your body. First, your body became the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let me just quote once again, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It sounds awesome. It sounds unbelievable. It sounds very religious that my body will become or becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit, meaning that God lives in this heart, in this soul. And I thought about it. Think about it. What does it mean that my body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, or God lives in there? What does it mean? Where does He live? In my heart, it's only a pump. In my blood, yeah, some people will say. Other, the brain. No, actually, what I believe is this. When I become a follower of Jesus Christ, this body now removes every junk that there is. And now God Himself comes into my mind, into my way of thinking, into the way of life. And everything that is godly, everything that is spiritual, becomes part of me. So then it becomes, my body becomes, my mind becomes, my to ego in Greek, that is me, has become now a place where God is found through my speech, through my eyes, through the way I live. And so this, I have become a walking temple where God lives. God's light lives and God's words are. This is an awesome statement. The Holy Spirit lives in the hearts of the true believers of Christ as God dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple of Solomon. Now, that's another thing that you could not understand unless you believed in God. What do you mean God lived in this tent? Or what do you mean God lives in this building? Well, God obviously does His Spirit. And the Bible says those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. So to the man who walks into a church and hears this sermon that talks about the Holy Spirit, talks about our bodies, the temple of God, and he has never heard the Bible or never heard the Word of God, to him this would be something that is impossible to comprehend, to understand. And yet, I believe God, the Creator, and I believe no matter what faith you come from, Catholic, Protestant, Greek, Orthodox, whatever, you either believe in God or you don't believe in God. And if you don't believe in God, don't go to any church. You're wasting your time. Why would you want to waste your time? At least enjoy some of the other things that are available to you. But if you believe in God, then that means that you want to know more about God. No matter, as I said, what denomination, what church, the purpose of someone going to church or someone praying to God or a God is something spiritual. And if we believe that God hears our prayers, and if we believe that God answers prayers, then I believe the entire Bible makes sense. Excuse me. There are, of course, those who would believe that the Bible is written by man and there are many mistakes and you can pick and choose. Now, if you start picking and choosing from the Bible, then you never know what is right and what is wrong, what is the truth and what is a man-made idea. The Holy Spirit lives in the hearts of the followers of God. Let's look at the temple in the Old Testament. Now, that is a good example to look at if you want to see your body as a temple of God. There was great care given to its design. I mean, the design of the temple in the Old Testament was not just like that. Someone said, okay, I'm going to build a little house and call it the temple of God. But God gave the inspiration, inspired people to do it. So there was a great care given to the building of that temple. And great effort and wealth was put into its construction. Detailed instructions were given by God for its maintenance and use. The people were expected to know that God dwelt in there. In 2 Corinthians 7:12 we read, "And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it." But there is no such place in the age of grace today. Although this building here is called Temple Baptist Church, it is not God's temple in the same sense as the Old Testament. Some people may believe that this is a temple in the sense, the biblical sense, but that's not how what it is. This is a place to worship. This our building is not the church. It is just the building where we, the church, meets. And when we say we, the church, I don't mean the members of this church alone. It means that the church of the Lord or the church is the invisible Catholic, if you wish. And I don't mean religious. The Greek word Catholicos means everyone including. Every human being who has made God his Lord and Savior. Every human being who looks at Jesus and says God himself has come in the person of Jesus to give salvation to mankind. And every human being who makes him his Lord and Savior is a member of the body of Christ, the church. So when we say the church, we should not mean this building, because this building is only a building. The church is the human beings that come in to worship. And when we use the word church, the church saves, the church this and that, and mean the building or the organization, that's wrong, because the organization cannot save anyone, no matter what organization it is, no matter what the organization is called, no matter how well organized the organization is, no matter how many pastors or preachers or priests they have, and no matter who directs, who is the CEO, if you wish, of this big organization called religion is, it does not save. It's only God who saves the soul. Let's look once again at the temple of the Old Testament. All its vessels were considered holy, set apart to be used only for the holy purposes, and dedicated strictly to serve God, to the service of God. So it is with our bodies today. The body of a true believer is a temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is a sacred, and you are that temple." Now, that, this really makes no sense to someone that hears it for the first time. And it's an awesome statement. Now, what does it mean, destroying my body? Well, if I don't take good care of myself, of my body, then I'm destroying this body. If I abuse food, if I abuse alcohol, if I abuse anything that gives pleasure to my body, and I'm saying abuse, because God has given us everything for our enjoyment. Our relationship with our wife or husband is God-given. The food is God-given. The drinks we have, the water, and everything, sports, all these things taken out of context or abused may destroy our body. The person who spends 12 hours just running because he or she gets this adrenaline rush and feels gets a high is eventually going to destroy the body. Exercising is wonderful. It's good. And yet, you have to know how much and when. Because your body is or should be God's temple, you must, first, be careful where this temple goes. Now, if this body belongs to God, and I believe that my body was given to me, or at least God put my soul in this body to enjoy this creation, and now that I have surrendered my life to God and say, "God, I believe in you. I believe in eternity. I believe in a soul. I believe that there is either eternal death or eternal life. And I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ." When I say that, then I should be careful what I do with this body. When I say body, my mind, my soul, not only the flesh. Where does my mind go to? What my mind does? What my heart asks for? Should I please my flesh, or should I please God and my family and my family members? Number two, be careful where, be careful what this temple does, or rather what you do to it. And I believe that it's very important for every Christian who claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ to know that he is a walking proclamation, a witness to others that God has done a good job in me, in you, by changing your life and bringing you out of eternal damnation, or if you wish, from sinful way of life to a life that is full of blessings. In the past few weeks, I've been counseling people who have been in trouble and would be either calling me or visiting with me and sharing with me what they've been through or what they are going through. Some would feel so depressed that they would even think of dying. And yet, they know that they have to quit. They know that they have to change their life. They know that their way of life has given them temporary pleasures on and off. And they know that there is a better way of doing it. And yet, it does take a commitment to be able to change a way of life. Number three, be careful what this temple thinks. And I think thinking what we think is the key to our walk. I mean, if I had no brain, and sometimes I feel I don't, but you may feel the same way. And if I don't think that I got to get up and go out for a walk, then I won't. The body itself won't start. So I have to think, or I have to think what I think, probably. I have to know what I'm thinking and make sure I'm thinking the right things. Number four, be careful how this temple, your body, acts and reacts. Now, acts and reacts. I believe if I make a mistake and set up myself for a failure, then I should not complain when I fail. When I prepare myself to do something good, then I will expect to receive something wonderful. I may expect, I may not. And yet, if I do the wrong thing in the and go to the wrong place and say the wrong thing, I'm setting up myself for trouble. And so I have to be very careful what I do with my way of thinking, with my body. Be careful how this temple, your body, acts and reacts. Then your body is the temple where the Holy Spirit lives. First we said, because your body is or should be God's temple, we must do these things. And now we know, obviously, we know that the Holy Spirit, when I say God, I mean Holy Spirit too. And yet, Jesus said, when I go, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll send the Holy Spirit, meaning that God's Spirit is with us. Your body is a temple where the Holy Spirit lives. The believer's body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That is a biblical truth. If we believe this, how could we ever think of taking a body in which the Holy Spirit lives and use it for sinful purposes? We have many examples of, and we have the two tracks, What Are You Searching For and Got Life, have the examples of men who, and two men and a woman who had everything going for them. I mean, you had Elizabeth Taylor that had achieved all kinds of things in her life. She had been married many times. She had tried drugs. She had tried alcohol. She had tried men. She had tried fame and everything. And at the end, she was one of the most miserable women. Then you had Elvis Presley, who tried everything, and he had everything. And yet, you know how his life ended. Hendrix, another example we have. And I was sharing this at the the Bible class this morning about, I don't have to name the name right now on the air because it's going on the air, it will be on the internet. And yet, there is a very famous singer, actress, everything, who has achieved many things. And she says that after I finished achieving this, I look for something else to achieve. And when I finish achieving this, getting there, I'm looking for something else. And she doesn't know what to do to get that final thing, achievement, that will give her peace and joy. Not only is our body the shrine of the Holy Spirit, but in the final analysis, our body does not belong to us. It belongs to God. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, then His power is available to you when you need it. But every word and act is also seen by Him. There can be nothing hidden. God is given the ability to hide some things, and yet we cannot hide anything from Him. God is grieved when we are not consistent. And I believe not only God is grieved when we are not consistent, the people around us are grieved, and the family suffers, and we suffer more than anyone else when we do not our spiritual being and our body. Finally, the Holy Spirit is to glorify God in His temple. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify God. Through your body, which was created by God, the Holy Spirit will help you glorify God. God was glorified through so many believers who not only lived holy lives, but they were also willing to give their lives for Him. I believe that those who made a commitment to follow God, the first Christians, some of them suffered by hunger, going hungry. Others, they were imprisoned. And others were thrown to the lions. And until today, Christian believers are the most persecuted people on this earth. And when I say this here in Montreal, it makes no sense. But if you go to countries where the word is forbidden, I was just reading that in China, the government now is trying to close down one of the largest home churches. They want them to join the official church. And there are those in Egypt, and there are those in many other countries. These people not only surrender their mind, but they surrender their life, their body to God. They are willing to do it because they believe in God. I believe that we have misunderstood the gospel of Jesus Christ. Big religious groups, Christian religious groups, have made religion attractive to attract people so they can manipulate some of these people for their own benefit. And yet Jesus said that if you want to follow me, I will bless you. I'll give you peace. I'll give you freedom. I'll liberate you from the vices. I will give you a purpose for living. And yet you have to follow me. Not follow a preacher, not follow a doctrine, not follow a great evangelist or whatever. Just follow the Word of God. And it's, someone said this morning that today it's easier to be a Christian. And yet, someone else commented and said, and yet it's very difficult. It is very easy because we have the Word of God printed, and it's very easy to put it into action. We must surrender our will to God. And this body that God gave us is only to serve us, the soul, to do things while on earth. God was glorified through so many believers. He can be glorified through us too. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, I believe that many have misunderstood this. When it says you must offer your bodies living sacrifice, it didn't mean that we must go into a monastery. And I come from Greece, where some time ago, even today, there were many monasteries. Women would go to a place where women went, and the men to another place, and they became monks. They were separated from the world, and they said, I offer my body to God by not enjoying some of the things the world gives. And yet, it does not make anyone any holier than the person who lives in a big city. Because the temptation is always there. You may go in a monastery and on an island, a deserted island, and live by yourself. Still, you can do the things that are not good for your body. You can do the things that will ruin your soul. At the same time, you may live in a place like Montreal where there's so much activity, you don't know what to do or how to hide from activity and still be a person who is spiritual and knows that God lives in him. Romans 12:1 once again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Have you surrendered your body to God, our Lord, or do you still control it? Now, I'm a businessman, as you know, and I face daily challenges. And there are things that will not help me become the person that I want to be spiritually. And yet, because I believe God is present in my life, and I believe because God controls most of the time my will and my body, I can go through life knowing that God is helping this body, my brain, my soul, to follow Him. And I believe no matter where you are, you may be a young student, you may be a middle-aged worker who is struggling to make ends meet, or you may be someone who has retired, your body needs to be active. And I believe if you reject spirituality, if you reject God, if someone rejects this dimension of being spiritual person, then has nothing else other than to try to please the flesh, which wants more and more and more and is never satisfied. I hope and pray that God will help each one of us to look at our body and our soul and our mind and our head, if you wish, brain, and say, thank you, God, for creating me the way I am. I am unique. No one else is like me. And I'm sure you can use me and help me. And your name will be glorified through me. I believe He is being glorified in your daily life, if you allow Him to do that. These are two questions that we must deal with. Am I only pleasing my flesh, or am I taking good care of my flesh so my spirit will be healthy? Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being with us, for creating us, for helping us to come this far in our journey. This journey of life, Lord, started when we were born, and yet we know that this journey will end. Could end today, or you may give us many years to live. It is all up to you. And yet we would like to do the things that will help others, the things that will please you and glorify your name. I hope and pray that every one of us will be touched this morning. In your blessed name I pray, amen.